sunshine in my heart.
Hello, everyone, and welcome. This is Andrea Carter and Heather Cavanaugh, and you are joining us for the Wealthy Women Warriors Mindset Q&A Call podcast, and we're excited to be here for yet another glorious mindset day.
Yes.
Today is May 23rd, and we're coming to you live, and we're excited to dive into, we've got three questions today, and they're all like slightly different in what they're asking about, and I kind of like that. I kind of like it when they're diverse that way.
We're going to go on a big range today.
That's right. Why don't I kick us off with the first question, which is, what do I do when everything seems to be falling apart? And how many women have been there where there's been either a change that's been forced on you, or all of a sudden you make a change and it feels like your world is just being blown up? I think we've all been there.
Yeah.
And it, in the moment, does not feel great. So how do we minimize this? How do we make this easier as we go through transition, as we, you know, go, I actually call this an up level. I like to think of it, instead of it being a negative, I like to look at it as part of our mindset evolution, part of our, even the Prolific Mindset Blueprint, but more so than that, it's part of learning that being in that coast stage does not serve us for long. And this is typically what happens. I don't look at it like a midlife crisis anymore, because I actually think that's a negative spin on it. And I feel like if we can look at it from a different lens, it minimizes the impact that we feel and allows us to grow faster and kind of get to the other side of it quicker as well. One of the things that I love to do when I feel like things are changing and I may not be ready for it, and I think all of us can think of different times in our lives that this has happened. I go into gratitude, and I know that that sounds cheesy. It sounds airy fairy. It sounds like, but here's the thing that we know about the neuroscience behind gratitude. First, the neuroscience shows that when you can actually experience gratitude, so this is the kicker. This is the part that so many people go, well, I can't even feel grateful, so how the heck can I get into that? And there's a couple of different ways that you can do it. I like to use the concept around situational visualization. And what that means is it allows you to visualize your current situation as it is, and then pull in things that you can honestly feel gratitude for. They might be the smallest thing ever. They might be that you're breathing air today. It might be that you can smell the rain falling outside. Or it can be things that you take as your rock. So my husband, I mean, we've been together for, I can't believe it, 22 years this year. And what's outrageous is that we have continued to be each other's rock. So when I'm in that place of depths of despair, or when my clients are there, I ask each of you, or myself, to look for the rock, the one thing that you can always come back to and you can always feel grateful for. And, you know, Andrew's my rock. So often what I'll do is, regardless of what the situation is, I will imagine him coming in and just grounding my experience so that no matter what is blowing up around me, it's not going to take me out. Heather, do you want to maybe just lend some of your perspective on that. I know both of us have done a lot of gratitude work, and
it works.
And it works. It really does work. So
I'm getting a little personal here. So
please, I
think personal stories sort of help. So before I even found Andrea, and before I had you know, this program, and I was in a very bad place. So I was working at a very important job. That's my definition, a very important job at a very important business, and lots of chaos and all kinds of things. And my mom was sick with cancer, and my dad was sick, and I had a baby, a surprise baby. I had a teenager, a surprise baby. I was trying to go back to work. I was breastfeeding. I was all kinds of other woman things. I was trying to stand up at the front of a room and give a presentation, and I had a new team, and we had a new reorg, and we had a new boss. And then my dad was actually diagnosed as being terminal. And it got really bad and really fast.
Yeah.
It was on a spiral to somewhere, and I didn't know what to do. And I knew I needed to do something. And so I had to take a break, but I still had to do something, because you can't just take a break. It's a big decision to decide, well, I need some reflective time. Okay. Whether that's a weekend to myself or a week's holidays, because I need to, you know, just change from everything that seems so bad. But I still needed to do something, and I didn't know what else to do. And I didn't want to go to therapy, and I didn't, you know, hold back, because I'm strong and I'm capable and I can just soldier through. But I turned to gratitude, because it seemed to be the simplest, easiest thing to wrap my head around. And so this was a pad of paper on my desk, on my nightstand table, and three things before I went to bed that I was grateful for. Mm-hmm. In the morning, before I started, because the mornings came really fast when you got a baby and you have to nurse them, three things that I woke up being grateful for to just make a change, mm-hmm. to put me on the path of positivity, because I was swallowed, and you have to do something to break that swallowing up feeling. It's bad when you're in the depths of despair, but you need to do something to change. And that gratitude, it worked. It was a positive starting and a positive ending. And it might not seem like much, and you might say, how can writing three things really be that big of a deal? But it made a tremendous impact, and it was like a turning page towards the start of, I don't even know what the word is. It wasn't regaining control, but it was just a new path of progress.
Well, a pause. It gives you the ability to have the pause that's needed. And on top of that, because it's gratitude, and because the neuroscience shows that the feeling of gratitude actually changes the brain chemistry, which changes where you put your focus. So, you know, going back to my initial saying, you know, everyone, so many people think gratitude is airy-fairy, and yet gratitude is one of the most powerful tools, mindset tools, that all of us have access to in many forms. So, you know, for Heather, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, Heather, but you know, you're a very strong, overachieving woman who has done incredible things in your life. And as that professional woman who's had children, who's, you know, got a, you know, you have found a wonderful marriage as well. You've got a ton of things on the go. You've managed and juggled. Some of the stories you've shared with me are just tremendous in what you've been able to do. It is life. And this is how women think. And this is part of the problem, that we feel responsible, that we should be able to handle anything that is thrown at us. And the reality is that when it's feeling like that, so to this person who said, what do I do when everything seems to be falling apart? Heather, I'm really grateful as well that you shared that personal story, because that, I think, is going to impact the person who asked the question. Because many of us feel shame not knowing how we can get through things. You know, one of the things I heard you say is, I didn't want to go for therapy. how many, you have no idea how many women say that.
Because I wanted
you and myself. I'm strong enough to do this myself. I'm not going to break. How many professional women, regardless of whether you're an entrepreneur or a woman in corporate, women are strong. And we feel when things get crazy and chaotic and all of the world feels like it is just exploding around us, we still feel shame that we should be able to manage it all. And that just isn't how it is. So that gratitude piece, whether it's putting it on paper, whether it's doing some situational visualization, and that can happen, you know, before you go to bed or first thing in the morning, I do both. Those tools can perpetuate the sense of pause that when you're in that, you crave so desperately. You just crave. How many people have said, I just need a break. Like, I just need a break. All of these things are being thrown at me. Just give me a break. Yeah. So the gratitude is actually what gives you the break. And it not only breaks up the parasympathetic nervous system, which is your fight flight response, but it's also allowing your thoughts the pause so that you are not in chaos. You're not at the bottom of the hole screaming up for someone to help when really you don't want the help. Just throw me down the ladder. I'll crawl out myself. But these are the pieces.
Yeah. And so, you know, like I said, and I'm, that's my testament. And, you know, this is the act of doing three things every morning, every night. I think like saved my sanity. It was such a necessary and such a positive step and a change for me. And then out of that, you can begin to start to see things a bit clearer. I mean, it's not automatic or anything like that. It becomes a tool and a practice and something you can count on and something your body becomes, because there's both biochemical changes that happen, to really become an important thing, an important activity, an important tool to help you get a grip. And get that place of, you know, refocus.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, when it comes down to it too, I think that you also shared something really important there in saying that it was a practice. So it doesn't mean that you're going to be perfect. You don't have to be perfect at this. You don't have to perfect anything. All you need to do is try it, practice it. When it feels like, you know, you're in the moment and maybe it's midday, doesn't even matter. Maybe it's midday. Take a breath and think of one thing you're grateful for. And then if you can remember before you go to bed, instead of worrying about everything that you're going to bed with, because this is the other part about not wanting to fall asleep thinking about your fears or your worries. What's really cool about your subconscious mind, I'm not going to go too much into detail here, but what's really cool about your subconscious mind is that your subconscious mind is working when you are sleeping. So think of a coma patient. We know that they can, you know, in a lot of cases, depending on the type of coma, but they can still hear us. They can remember stuff. Sometimes, you know, medically induced comas is what is needed so the person can actually heal. So your subconscious mind is an incredibly powerful part of being human. And what a lot of people don't realize is that right before you go to sleep, if you're planting the seeds or the thoughts of fear and worry, your subconscious will focus on the fear and the worry, which is why you wake up in the morning feeling panicked. But if you can fall asleep thinking about something you're grateful for, it will be much easier in the morning to feel gratitude when you wake up. And again, shift where your mindset and your thoughts are then going so that your day becomes easier.
Yeah. I mean, it's why we don't read horror stories to children before they go to bed. I mean, you want to fill their mind up with thoughts of peace and wholeness or goodness.
Well, and here's a funny story. So I'm gonna just, I'll share this really quickly, but an example to drive this home. My husband and I, we used to have a television in our bedroom when we lived in Calgary, and he loves horror movies and I don't, I can't watch them. So there was a period of time where it was around Halloween and he really wanted to watch those really scary movies, like the Friday the 13th and all of those movies. And I went through a week where I couldn't figure out why I'd wake up panicked. Like literally I'd wake up panicked in the morning, panting, like anxiety, the whole nine yards. And what I found out at the end of the week was that Andrew had actually been watching the movies after I had fallen asleep while he was lying in bed watching, you know, and I'm there beside him. So my subconscious mind, even though I wasn't awake,
was participating
in that. And then he finally, one morning, he was like, oh, you know, I watched this movie last night. And I thought, oh, that's why I'm having these horrible, horrible sleeps and these, you know, panicked mornings. Because what we listen to and program in our mind and hear in the background is affecting that subconscious mind all the time. Yeah.
Yeah.
So cool.
Yeah. Hope that's helpful. Yeah.
So hang in there. We've all been there. We're rooting for you. We know you can do this. Check out some of the gratitude stuff that we've got for you. And if you need anything else, send us an email. You can always do that at info@wealthywomanwarrior.com. Okay, question number two. I like this question. This question actually came in from a woman that was in the audience that I spoke at an event last week. And her office has just recently moved from doing 100% at the office to doing 75% remote, 25% in the office. Now, I know there's a lot of offices that are, you know, they're shifting stuff up and they're looking at maximizing time. They're looking at maximizing office space. But that's a big jump. It's a big jump to going from being in the office all the time and maybe having like the reverse of 75 in the office and 25 at home or remotely to 75% remotely and 25% in the office. So she just said, you know, I need some tools. I need some strategies because I've never done this. And I think it's a great question. And I think it's really relevant for the way that a lot of offices are moving.
Yeah, we want this to be successful. Mm-hmm. I so want this to be successful because this is the number one flexibility request. I mean, 75% is huge. I think most people would even just take like a third or one day a week, 20%. So kudos to whoever's office this is that they're, you know, test driving this and putting their money where their mouth is, because flexibility is what people are looking for. But that doesn't change the fact that it's a work style than being in the office. Procrastination, the dreaded procrastination. I think I am actually a fabulous procrastinator. I think I have mastered the art of procrastination. And it is a habit that I continually know is my worst habit, and I'm always looking to kick it to the curb. So I don't think there's a cure for procrastination. I think there is, you know, just a set of tools and an awareness and an ongoing process that you have to use for yourself to get you out of procrastination and into productivity. There's no cure. I think once a procrastinator, probably always a procrastinator, but knowing what you're doing and maybe why you're doing it can be part of the cure for getting into productivity, because we want you to succeed. I think the biggest thing is that procrastination isn't laziness. People just think, oh, I'm being lazy. I I think you get to realize that you're actually avoiding. That's what it is. It's a punishment and it's an avoidance tactic. We naturally avoid things that we don't want to do. So I think you need to dig a little deeper as to why you maybe don't want to be doing this, or what you might be avoiding in not sitting down and getting your day started. So I'm sort of assuming that you've created a great work environment for yourself, and I'm sure that, I hope, your company set you up for success in talking about, you know, having a place that's conducive to work, that's already set up, that's, you know, established, that's, you know, replicates to the best of its ability what you would have in the office, whether that's, you know, virtual files or a certain amount of physical stationery and tools and, you know, everything that's at the ready. So you're not having to clean off the kitchen counter. I mean, you could go to your office or your desk space, whatever it is, and it doesn't matter if there's stuff in the kitchen because it's your office hours and you're going to your desk to work from, I don't know, 9:15 till whatever. You don't have to clean up the kitchen in order to then, you know, start work at the counter or something like that. I mean, those are just, you know, pragmatics that I'm going to assume that your company has helped you get through. But when it actually comes to you self-starting and self-regulating yourself, the procrastination is you avoiding something and or punishing yourself, making it harder on yourself to succeed. So you kind of have to start to dig into what is your mindset about what it is that you're avoiding.
Yes. So
are you avoiding success? Are you avoiding, because just delaying you getting the work done, and you know darn well you could sit down and once, you know, get it started, even 10 minutes in, you're already perhaps 10 minutes or 1/5, or, you know, things start to roll, you just have to start to do, but there's some reason that you're avoiding doing it. For me, I often have it blown up in my head that this needs to be awesome. And that's my barrier to getting started, because I have had these subconscious conversations and I have these subconscious expectations that it's just got to be awesome, as opposed to just getting started.
Yep.
Getting it done awesome right away has such a huge responsibility and a burden to it, and it's easier to avoid it, avoid getting started, and that's where I would start. Then we can talk about the punishing part. Because in the end, you punish yourself because you did have to rush through it, or all that time you spent not doing it, you weren't feeling good about yourself, right? It was something to be able to kick yourself about. God, why can't you just get this started? Goodness, why can't you just sit down and get this going? Why are you, you know, ignoring that file, or, you know, and so there's, you know, what's that doing for you? There's some sort of comfort record message that's playing in your brain where you like to sort of kick yourself or beat yourself up for not actually getting it done. That's the punishment part of it.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, there's a lot of belief systems. There's a reason why companies typically don't say, hey, go to 75% working from home. There's a reason that the flexibility isn't normally there. And as times are changing, I think what's happening is that the way that we are working is also changing. So procrastination is happening at work as much as it's happening at home.
That's true.
And I think we need to be aware of that as well, because it's not like all of a sudden you're going to have a change in your environment and procrastination is suddenly gone. We learn to behave in a certain way from the conditioning that we've received from the time we were young kids in school until now. And likely one of the biggest things that can make your home transition much more easy, genuine, feel better, not being so hard on yourself, is look for rituals that you can do every single day. So, and every time you change something, you need to establish a new ritual. What that means is if, you know, as Heather said, if you have created your office space in the kitchen, and then all of the sudden, you know, your company gives you a budget, or maybe something changes in your house, and you move your office into the basement, or you move your office into a bedroom, or something shifts, you need to change your ritual. So when there is a change, you always change your ritual. That's just how it has to go. And what having a ritual will do is it will help you create a pattern. So, for example, the way that you drove to work, for however long you drove to work, you always went the same way.
Don't think about it.
Right? And yeah, you do that so that you don't have to think about it. Yeah. And then the one time or the two times, or maybe, you know, you live in Ontario and you've got detours popping up all over. But, you know, then when you have these detours, all of a sudden you have to think about it. And that small change can set somebody up for a bad day. It can set you up for a bad mood. It can be the reason that you get to work and you're not productive. So, you know, you think of the person who's honked at you or whatever. So these small rituals actually help your brain. What happens is that you actually create a route in your physical brain, and then that route becomes easier for you to follow. So when you go from working at work to working remotely, regardless of where you're working, for some people, they like to switch it up. So some people like to be in their home and then out in public because they're so used to having that background noise. And so many people have been working in workstations with cubicles or background noise that they've had to learn to block out. Now you're at home and all of a sudden the silence is what you're trying to figure out how to work in. So what I would suggest is set it up so that you have a ritual or a routine. If you're a person who needs to have background noise, start your day if you want, you know, with 2 hours at home, get the hardest things out of the way first, and then hit the coffee shop and get a little bit of work that doesn't have to be done in your house or wherever you're working remotely from, achieved so that you're still satisfying that background noise. Procrastination can be beat when you have structure set up to help you thrive. So back in the day when I used to work in the healthcare industry, I used to repetitively say, structure dictates function. And that doesn't matter if it's your physical body or if it's your mind. The structure of what you're thinking, the structure of how you set up your day, the structure of you know, where your focus goes will dictate your success. So create a simple ritual. Create something that we actually have a program for that too. I don't have the URL offhand, but you can go onto the website and you can actually see it on the website as well on wealthywomanwarrior.com. And you can create your own ritual because sometimes you just need something that's going to walk you through what you need to do and when, and then practice it. And as you do that, it makes all of that other stuff so much easier. And instead of in your mind thinking about the things that, you know, you're not doing well enough or you haven't achieved, and this is applicable whether you're working remotely or in the office, all of a sudden you're setting yourself up for success. And the change of whatever that may be doesn't have to impact your taking action and getting things done.
Yeah, I hadn't thought of procrastination so much so from a rituals perspective. So I like, again, as an expert procrastinator, I'm always looking at tools and ways, because I just would have thrown out the typical, do the thing you hate the most, the earliest, and, you know, get it over with, and which are all good strategies, as opposed to, you know, having a ritual is a much deeper, again, process, or it's akin to a habit. It's starting something that's more robust than just here's a tip and here's a strategy. It's something fulsome.
Well, and you know, I joke, I say that I'm a recovering procrastinator. And you know, I was the kid in school that could study the day before and pull off A's. Likely you're the same way, Heather. You know, I used to also say, I remember saying this, I work better under pressure. I would leave things on purpose because I believed, like literally believed, that I did better work if I left it until the last minute. And, you know, I think I got to a place in my business where I just couldn't do that anymore. And when we moved to Toronto, that was a huge, I mean, just being in this city has completely different implications, because it's just a more demanding city. And it really, it, you know, when I first landed, man, it kicked my butt. I needed to get those rituals up to date. And that's why I'm saying every time there's a change, update your ritual, because I made the wrong assumption that I could do what I did in Calgary, and just, you know, change, just be in a different place. And it doesn't work that way.
Yeah, that's good. That's interesting to know. It's more than just the time zone, but yeah. I like thinking about it from a rituals perspective. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, learning for me too.
Well, and then it's just practicing it, right?
Right.
Practicing it. Last question. Let's move into this. So the question is, Andrea, I've heard you speak recently. This is from another woman who has just gone through the Prolific Mindset Blueprint. And I actually think she's also in your 12 zappers as well, the 12 inspiration zappers.
Great.
And she wants to know, so there's much more to this question, and I'm not going to read it all. But she's asking, you know, I heard you speak. I want you to explain why you think mindset is an area corporate women need to spend more time learning about. So that's the question. Heather, I'm going to throw this out to you first. I think you were really eloquent in sharing the amount of pressure you were under in corporate earlier in this call. And my go to, if you had the tools that you now have being in corporate, take your parents out of the equation, but what would have changed for you running a team, being in those meetings, productivity, if you had some different mindset tools?
A good question. I really do think I would have been able to check my emotionality a lot more. Okay. I think I really would have been in touch with my emotions. I maybe would have experienced different reactions to situations or people or things that drove me crazy or really irritated me or, you know, compounded. And, you know, just having a different emotional reaction and just being able to pause instead of react. So that whole notion of being able to take a breath, leave an empty space, would have allowed for different interactions and would have allowed for situations to present themselves differently, unwrap themselves differently, for interactions to happen differently than the forcing, pushing, grinding. I hear all these words. It's all worth the grind, you know, keep grinding, keep forcing. It's worth, you know, I'm not actually sure it is worth the grind because it wears everyone down. And I think that would definitely have been a very different professional existence if I wasn't always grinding and forcing and pushing and controlling.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think the big piece is the amount of personalization that is happening right now in the corporate world. And the reason I say this is because we haven't learned how to have the emotional experience and not internalize it as yours to deal with and get the result that the overarching company is asking you to deliver. So the reason I say that mindset, and I personally think that our world, not just corporate, this isn't just corporate women. I think it's true for entrepreneurs as well. I think what has happened is that we have evolved, but what we haven't necessarily done is we have spent all of this time training our physical bodies. And we can look at a person outside and instantly judge them on how much work they are dedicating to their physical body. But we can't actually look at a person and judge a person on what they're actually doing for their mind. So what I see happening over and over and over again is that there's an email that's written. The email is written with the perspective of, I got to get this done. This is the objective. This is the action. This is the outcome I need. And instead, you know, men look at it as, it's funny, and I've actually had these conversations with some of my male clients. And they've said to me, Andrea, I do not want to have to flower, were their words, I don't want to have to flower an email. That means I have to think about how this other person is receiving it before I send it. Well, here are the problems with this. The person on the receiving end and the person on the sending end, if they haven't had any mindset work, it doesn't matter how you could make it as flowery as you want. Whatever's going on upstairs, whatever they believe you think of them is going to show in the email, regardless of how flowery or nice you make it. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And the same is true in meetings. Somebody can look at you in a way, and maybe they're looking at you because you actually have a really nice blouse on, or maybe your earring catches their eye or something, and they look at you and you think, oh, they think I'm stupid. They don't think I'm saying the right things in this meeting. Whatever we are personalizing and internalizing is what we are then creating in our environment. And so, you know, leadership has gone, just as Heather shared, leadership has gone from grinding it out, pushing and forcing, and everything is so physically like driven, into leadership being about how to inspire and motivate and influence. And the reality is that most men don't know how to do this, but our corporate women who are at the top and are in their game, and these are the women who are, you know, it's sad to say, but these are the women that are being given an extra title to make it seem like we're all good and cushy with gender parity here. And they're not being paid extra for it. They're just getting more responsibility. And they don't know how to get through all of the meetings and all of the responsibility. And so what's happening is that they don't have mindset training to actually get them to the other side. And so in amongst all of this stuff that they're trying to achieve, they're then also internalizing the issues that are happening within the corporate culture. And no wonder we have so much overwhelm. No wonder sick leave, you know, there are 500,000 people per week in Canada taking sick leave because of mental health issues. So when I say we need to spend more time on mindset, I'm not saying it just because I think it's a good thing. I'm saying it because your health depends on it. Our corporate culture depends on it. From an entrepreneurial perspective, I actually think we'd have women become much more successful, much faster, if they had mindset training. And unfortunately, the reality is that mindset training is seen as a soft skill and it's often put on the back burner and people don't realize what it's going to do to help them get to where they want to go.
Yeah. And if for women, if I can add to that, and again, my experience is I have worked in male-dominated industries, professional services businesses that have been male-dominated, is that it'd be really great for women to skip that stage where they're told they need to become a man or act like a man or be more manly or develop these manly skills. Mindset, could we just skip to knowing thyself and working through mindset instead of act more like a man, be one of the boys? You need to fit in first. We haven't done women any favors by pushing them into that corner.
Yeah. No, so true. So I hope that explains why you'll often hear me say that. I have been out there doing a lot more public appearances and talking way more about mindset, you know, regardless of whether that's from a financial perspective or whether that is from a corporate perspective or whether that's from just a personal, professional, economic. I want women to succeed. I want you to be able to reach your potential. And what I know is that there's no way that I could do what I'm doing now if I didn't have a mindset program in place. There's no way that I would have even entertained the idea of creating this massive, audacious goal of being able to empower a million women. And that's my piece around mindset. But I think it's because I've just seen too many women break that I think this is so unfair. And if we had tools, which we do have, this doesn't have to be the experience. So whether that's the mother-in-law that makes you climb the the walls, whether that is, you know, the husband that you're scared doesn't love you anymore, whether that's your kids and projecting that you're a bad mom, whether that is the office culture feeling like you're not enough. The not enough is not coming from them. It's coming from self. It's coming from the little thoughts that nobody else can hear that is consistently taking women out. So let's show women how to think so that they can achieve and grow and be happy and love and all of the things that
from authentic
and
authentic strength. And
That's the mission. That is absolutely the mission, because I truly believe that regardless of what the situation, and I think sometimes we look at people and we go, oh, well, she's got it perfect, so that's why she can be happy and do what she's doing. I guarantee there's nobody, including myself, that has anything perfect. But depending on what tools you have to keep you going, that's what allows you to laugh your, pardon me, ass off in a situation where you should be crying, where most people would be crying. And And I pride myself on the fact that that's how people know me. They'll say that I have grit of gold. They'll describe me as resilient. They'll describe me as super hardworking. But I could put all of that aside if I just had my mindset tools. And I've seen that time again with all of my clients. So invest in your mindset, invest in training your thinking, invest in making your thoughts a priority. Because that will change everything.
Yeah. It's incredible how powerful your thoughts are.
Well, they change your DNA. So if they can change your DNA, and if we can, you know, when I look at, there's a fabulous man who, he and his wife are a team. They've done incredible work starting in the 80s, Dr. Carl Simonton. You know, he was the one who came up with a visualization for radiation. And they've shown, you know, placebo tests time and time after, you know, from then till now, showing that cancer can actually go into remission just by your thoughts. So depending on how toxic your thoughts are, they've also shown that that can create cancer. And people are not aware of how powerful your thinking truly is. So if thought can create cancer and thought can take cancer away, why are we not doing more to train our thinking? That I just think it makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
Regardless of whether you're a man or a woman. I think women right now really need this. That's not to say men don't, but this is where it starts, ladies. So let's do this. Let's be prolific. Let's work with our mindset. And on that note, we are at the top of the hour. Thank you all for joining us today. We, as always, appreciate your questions. We love being here with you. We can't wait to deliver more on mindset. Heather, thank you so much, as always, for being here and sharing your insight. I always appreciate your thoughts and the direction that you take us each week.
Pleasure.
Thanks, everyone. Have a great week. We'll see you next week. Bye for now.
The podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.